What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one community for DJs to get paid for your live stream sets. Today, we have my brother, DJ Dr. Watts, here on the show. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people who you are and where you're from?
My name is DJ Dr. Watts. My partner is Lady Jim. We're ambassadors of good frequency. I'm from Shreveport, Louisiana, but I'm currently living in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, which is where me and my wife have incorporated our record label, Son of Man Records. And we're taking advantage of our position inside of the film and TV industry to just use this DJ platform to just use our gift to spread it out there.
Amazing, brother. Super excited to have you on the show, man. We want to hear about your journey in the DJ industry. So bring us back to the beginning. Talk to us about what sparked your interest to become a DJ, and then just talk to us a little bit about those beginning days.
Okay, what really sparked my interest becoming a DJ is when I was living in Louisiana, and I saw this ad in the newspaper, and it said hiring DJs for this radio station. And I've seen so many movies about DJs, like back in the 70s, the clubs and radio stations. And I was like, I'm going to try this. So I went to the radio station. I was like, I want to apply for the DJ. I was like, I'm picturing I'm going to get on air. And they was like, cool. He's like, well, the first thing you got to start doing is selling ads so you can get some air and get you a shot. So that's what started me. I eventually did that, and I started selling ads, and I started doing this little part called the Jesus Jam they used to have on Sunday where they would play Christian rap back in the days when they thought Christian rap was a second coming of evil. But anyway, what started me with that is just I've been in music ever since I was 5 years old, and I always wanted to DJ because I like playing music for the crowd, and I'm a very perceptive person, so I like to feel the crowd, like to feel the energy, and I just love sharing music. And when you share the music that people like and you can see them and they come into a place where they get a little non-resistance, like some nice things can happen when the energy comes in. So basically, for being a DJ is something that I wanted to do because it's just like, it's something that I can give to people. That's what I like doing. That's what I love about music, period.
That's super amazing, man. And you know, when you have a gift and you just kind of want to use that gift to help others, you get really a lot back, and you're blessing yourself and blessing others with the things that you're doing. So super excited to hear that you had that calling to do this, and you kind of just went for it and got into the industry and just started really thriving and doing well. You know, I would love to hear, you know, where did it go from there, from that initial intro, and just walk us through your journey in the industry.
Well, where it went from there is when I started working at the radio station, I started learning some things, and I started learning about artists, and I started learning about the music industry, because I've always wanted to own a label. I always wanted to be in the music industry. So I started working there, and it didn't really go where I wanted it to go. And so I started finding like, I couldn't really afford to buy instruments. So I started like rummaging through the trash. Like I found a turntable that had with the cord broken off. So I took that turntable and I went home and undid it and I fixed it. I went to a audio show and I spent $52 on a Stanton needle. So stylus so I could, you know, scratch well one that can withstand going back and forth once like the radio station is. So once I started doing that, I started going to the Goodwill and I started finding double cassette decks, and I started finding all kind of old records and 8-tracks, and I started learning how to bounce stuff. It was really noisy using the old Radio Shack realistic stuff. But what happened is I started learning how to make music. When I found out that I could layer and make tracks and start doing things like that, I just lost my mind. And that's when it was just really going to school. And once I'm done with school, I didn't really have any social life with friends. It was just me at home making music. I was at home learning how to make music, learning how to DJ, learning how to scratch, learning how to use mixers, learning how to route double cassette decks and keep bouncing tapes indefinitely. Could take the one off the bottom, put it on the top, take that one off the bottom, put it on the top. And I record, I keep layering, that's how I had a track studio, because I couldn't have a track studio, so I just had to use double cassette decks and keep bouncing them. So that's how I learned how to make music, but I loved it so much it didn't matter. I would go to the Goodwill, I'd go to the trash, I would beg for it, it didn't matter. I just needed some electronic equipment so I can educate myself on how to do that. Now, what happened is electronic music started coming out, and I started hearing like Planet Rock, and started hearing stuff like Looking for a Perfect Beat, and it just messed my head up, and I just started hearing all this different music, and I was like, I just got to learn how to make that music. I want to learn what are those instruments, what are they doing. who is Kraftwerk and what is this? What are they doing? What is numbers? And I'm like, good gracious, a Tour de France. And I'm like, what in the who? And these people did this back in the 60s and we were in the 70s and we were in the 80s and 90s. And I'm just like catching hold of this. What's going on? It just blew my mind. So I was just like, I got to learn how to produce this music. And so one thing led to the other. And I eventually ended up living in Virginia. Because I played drums in church in the South in Louisiana when I lived in Shreveport for a long time. And I got my first drum set from a pawn shop in Shreveport, Max's Pawn Shop, downtown Shreveport. My mom bought it for me. My dad was so mad that she bought it because he wasn't the type to like look into dreams. You know, you have to watch Dream Killers because people that don't watch this go for their dream. Sometimes they'll knock yours down. But anyway, I'm convinced now, you know, I'm 51 years old now. Writing for film and TV. Okay, well, anyway, we'll go back to that. My mom got me the drum set, so I started doing that. I started playing drums in the church, and I started learning. Then I went to the Hammond B3. I didn't really know how to do it, but I started watching them because I can play by ear. I started learning playing the saxophone. Then I started learning to play the trumpet, started learning to play the bass guitar, which I got that ear, got keyboards. And I started learning and learning. And I'm just getting deep into music as much as I can. And then eventually I ended up moving to Norfolk, Virginia. And my brother came out here, and I got a chance to play a backup keyboard for Boys to Men. I was at the Scope. I was living in Norfolk. I didn't get the chance, though, because the guys that I were with, they eventually had gone up with another set of musicians. But just being able to be in the room with those people, I had bought my first ASR-10, the same one that Kanye West used, which I love that board. I bought my first ASR-10 at an Audio Lighting Music in Norfolk, Virginia. When I bought that board, I started playing, but just being in the room, playing on Bended Knee, and that's when I learned how to play on Bended Knee. And I didn't get it, but I was just so excited that they even called my name. But eventually, one thing led to the other. I started doing it, and I started learning to use a sampler. And then when I started learning to use a sampler, I was like, oh, wow, I'm fixing to start throwing landing vocal tracks. It wasn't really where I wanted to be that yet, but I didn't see. And then what happened? My sister was dating this guy, and he had a band called Midnight Love, Midnight Train or Midnight Love. His name was Gordon Banks. He was a guitar player for Marvin Gaye. And she said, well, she's not living anymore, I don't think. And she said, she was dating him when he was living in Virginia. She said, I want you to come see something. So she took me to a show, and I was like, what's going on? And I saw him on the stage with his band, but his band was playing, but also he had these sequencers that he had pre-programmed, and they were playing all of the music exactly to the T. Like, he would program it. He didn't just buy the MIDI. He would program it. And this guy, and I got to meet him. He told me about Marvin Gaye, how he broke his heart, what happened to Marvin Gaye. And I got to meet Gordon Banks, and it was almost like a transfer of energy being the medium. And he said, get into computerized music because that's where it's going. Don't spend all your money buying all these analog instruments right now. He said, get into computerized music so you can record those analog instruments. And I got the ASR-10. I started doing this, and I started doing that. And then one thing just led to the other. And I just started learning how to make beats. And then when I started learning how to make beats, I started using Fruity Loops 3.1. And then I started learning how to make beats. And then all of a sudden, there was the most elementary hip hop beats that I ever made, but I still got them up on SoundCloud because I don't take none of my stuff down. I keep all the progress up from the worst sound and stuff all the way up. I want everybody to see progress. So what happened is I started making the beats, and then I started listening to Gucci Mane. And I was like, because I was always into classical and everything when I was in school, but I started listening to Gucci and stuff and started getting into that trap. And I was like, wait a minute, this is like classical in a way. You got a lot of horns, you got a lot of bells and a lot of accents. I was like, oh, and I started trying to learn how to do that. And I started going trap. And then all of a sudden, I ended up on this website for taximusic.com. And they were like, I thought they were kind of like, they were just pushing music to A&R, but what they do, they push it out there to like the film and TV people. And I got my first landing for a film and TV show from just learning how to make beats. After 5 years though, they kept telling me no. I tried for 5 years, they told me no, because I didn't understand the format. But once I learned the format, I got my first landing for a Kesha type pop instrumental for Catfish. And then I got Catfish, and then all of a sudden the next one came up was Total Divas. And then all of a sudden I started getting music on Total Divas, and then it came to Mary Mary. Then they used some music on Mary Mary, then they went to Love and Hip Hop. And then Vice wanted me to compose this incredible mix of just percussion Danger Music. And then I spent a whole summer making like 100 tracks. Then I made 200 tracks to send over there to this track. And I just was making music. And I was like, I'm making all this music. Why don't I take all these different genres I know how to make? Because I can make house music, or lo-fi, old school hip-hop, new school hip-hop, trap, new trap, old trap, EDM trap. I'm into doing techno right now, house tech, techno house. It doesn't really matter. Music to me is a note of rest. I've been in it since I was 5 years old. And now I just, like, my wife and I, we got this, when I moved to Nebraska, I met this wonderful lady named Jennifer, and we got married, and we were talking about starting this record label. So we took all of that, all of those years from 5 years old that's been in here, and all of that knowledge and all that stuff, and we put it together, and we started a record label. And now we got Son of Man Records, and now we're writing for Family TV and getting ready to release our own original music and getting ready to shock the world. Being 51 years old, doing what I'm doing, can produce right beside with the Metro Boomers and all those guys, because I never stopped, and still using the state-of-the-art equipment, and plus learning how to DJ. Now, this is something I just did since the pandemic. I didn't pick this up until then. Of course, when they start sending that stimulus check, every time they sent me a stimulus check, I kicked it out to an investor. Everything. I mean, sometimes I don't even have like $20 left, but, you know, I'm buying equipment. I'm buying DJ controllers. I'm buying Cameo circuit because got to make my own T-shirt and promo stuff. Just did all of that. Computers and this and doing that and cameras and all kind of stuff that I'm going to need, and speakers and woofers and stuff, so that when I do step out there, we can sound professional. And so that's how it all started, from there to being in here in Nebraska. And, you know, I'm starting to think, I was like, wow, look out those doors. As I'm telling you, I'm thinking, look at those doors that were open for you. And I'm just amazed at being there with this door open too. So that's where it all came from.
Wow, brother, that is an amazing story, man. And literally, you started off with, you got to watch out for dream killers. And you made sure you dodged those dream killers, and you were able to walk in faith with your purpose, and are able to thrive and see all these doors, the perfect doors align in place for you to walk through and step into your purpose. So that is truly amazing. I think it's a divine calling that you're walking into, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And we're super excited just to see where this goes, because this is only the beginning, man. You have a lot ahead of you. You're about to shock the world, just like you said. And I'm super excited that I get to see it firsthand and that we're connected, man. Talk to me about some of the things that you've learned along the way that has aided in your ability to be great within this industry. You know, you said you did a lot of work in producing music and were able to put your music in some really cool places. You know, how did you go about getting those opportunities, and what are some things that people should do if they're interested in getting into the producing music side?
I got comfortable with failing. Actually, I have this statement, and I'm gonna make a t-shirt, that I failed my way straight into proficiency. And that's what happened, honestly, because I'm gonna tell you the reason why I can make good EDM is because I submitted to Taxi Music for a TV show. They needed some help. It was like Big House EDM. And I wasn't really, you know, understanding about mastering. I understood how to push it a little bit, but I didn't understand the full scope of mastering. I mean, I've been dabbling in it for like 15 years, but like in the last 3 years, I've really concentrated in it, and that's why I've been able to master my own music. But what I've learned is, the most important thing that I've learned is the guy said, I love the track. And he said, but one thing you got to understand about EDM, that the four on the floor is the king. And he say, do not ever let your kick get lost in your mix. He say, in matter of fact, use as many kicks as you can without distorting. So I learned that from Puppy. I saw one time on a video when I'll take 5 seconds from a conversation throughout my life from somebody, and I'll pack that in my library. I'll go here and listen to this person. I don't care if it's a devout person that don't even like me. If they got something that I want to hear, I'll take all the stuff I don't want to hear and move it out the way. And that little stuff that I do, I'll take that and I'll pack it. And I'll let that stuff go. I don't even take any emotion about it. That's their problem. They take it, taking it with them. But what I learned is, I learned how to stack snares. I learned how to stack kicks. Like, I'll do like 10 snares. And that's a lot of people. That's one of my biggest secrets that I do when I make music. It's not really on how loud I turn the snares. It's like I could do 10 snares and have them playing in unison when I do an EDM track or a house track. And I use 10 different snares and adjust the volume on each one to make them blend into one. And the one thing about being a producer that I could say that helped me is learning to master and trying every genre that you can. Don't get stuck in one genre saying, this is my thing, this is my niche. Because I'm telling you, I'd have had to learn how to do Adobe. I had to learn how to do After Effects. I'd have had to learn how to take pictures. We don't have any employees. We put all of these graphics and all of this music and all of these licenses and all of these contracts and stuff. We had to learn every bit of this. And two things I learned how to do. Go to YouTube and type in how to. YouTube is free education. I learned how to make beats there. I learned how to use Blender, the software there. I learned how to use After Effects. I learned how to use Adobe Photoshop there. I learned how to use Adobe Illustrator there. I learned even how to make a corn dog correctly by looking on YouTube. In all of the years I've been making those greasy bombs, I learned how to make a good one by watching somebody on there. So just go find somebody who knows more than you and listen to them. And let your ego down, let your pride down, and just let yourself and just use all of that knowledge that is free school. We are living in an era where school is free and people still won't take it. We got money raining out the sky. Education and knowledge just flying. We even have the truth about stuff that we've been lied to for years. And it's just available to us. It's information. We have the mind of the world just flying around what we call the web. Of course I'm going to dive in and take advantage of it and use my time to bless the seed that's coming after me. Because really, my biggest secret is I'm 300 years in the future every day. Most people are living right for the day. I'm not living for today. I'm planning for 300 years in the future. So the seed of my seed and my seed will have something. I don't want them on Section 8 unless they exit in the race when they park. That's it. That's it for me.
This is really amazing, brother. Like, you really have a mindset of a winner, brother. Like, you are hungry for learning. Even today, even after learning so much, you're still hungry for learning. And it's something that you're really going to use to be able to build the top of what you already know. And it's a never-ending journey. There's always more you can learn. And use those learnings to increase and build your building, your business, and build the things that you're trying to achieve in this world. So, like, I love the way that you outlined that. And you really kind of broke it down to what's really important by, even if you're listening to a conversation and someone's saying a lot of stuff, but you see just that one piece of nugget that you can take out of it to improve your life, you can use that in everything that you're doing going forward, man. I think that you have a sharp mind, brother, and you're gonna do some amazing things, man. And one thing that I like to know, and that you noticed a little bit earlier, you mentioned that you partnered with your wife and she helped you take everything out of your head and put it into reality. You know, that's super amazing, because a lot of people don't have that strong support system with their spouse or their partner. And it's so beautiful to see when you have someone that's aligned with you to help you move your vision and your dreams forward. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, how you are able to navigate, you know, with your wife and that dynamic that you two play as business partners and husband and wife.
Okay, the number one thing that allows everything to work is there are no in our marriage, there's no preconceived notions on gender, roles, none of that. All of this societal stuff, all of that junk got to go. All of that stuff that was brought in by our parents, grandparents, all this stuff, they can have that. Move all that out the way. This is our thing. She does what she does, what she likes. My wife actually is a mechanic. She actually loves cars. She likes to build cars. She likes to restore cars. She loves animals. She loves doing it. But she is an advisor and an amazing A&R. She can listen like that. She knows, she has music index from here. She has music index from there. I told her, I said, you're probably going to be a curator for the Smithsonian one day, because she introduced me to freestyle music. She introduced me to the Chicano rock, which I thought was black R&B groups back in the day, which I come to find out that was Chicano rock. She is an amazing, strong person. She's an individual. She don't take no crap off nobody, including me. She ain't gonna lie to me. If the music sounds good, she's gonna say it sounds good. If it sounds crap, she's gonna say it sounds crap. And the number one thing that I think that works is that she is straight, blatantly honest, and she do not care about my feelings. Well, she don't say it to hurt my feelings, but she will tell me the truth, because she's more interested in me and growing than fawning over me and just telling me what I want to hear. She don't ever do that. She tells me what I need to hear. Because the first thing she told me when I met her, she said, you don't owe anybody anything. I don't care where you've come. Where you come from and what they've done, you owe no one nothing. Go forth and build and do what God has for you to do. And she has just supported in so many ways, and she's always helped so many people, and she just have a giving heart. But she's very unique in who she is. She's a very unique, strong creature. My wife is a Latina. She's Mexican. And she's a mixture of tradition and contemporary all at the one time. She's a mixture of old school thinking and free thinking all at one. It's just like it's like Shanae, they say she ain't down with the swirl. Well, she is, because she got it all swirled up in there. Many different ways and avenues of who she is. And that's what helped, because when I came to Scottsbluff, I actually came here because I was living in Cheyenne, Wyoming, in with a roommate after the person I was with, they got tired of waiting for the music business. So they say, you got to leave, take the company with you. I don't want nothing else to do with you. Get out. We weren't married anyway. So I got out and ended up having to, you know, rooming with somebody. And that person ended up moving to Florida to be a nail technician. And what happened is I ended up having to pack everything in the car. And I spent 2 weeks, actually a week, sleeping in the winter under the light in Wyoming at the Walmart with a military blanket in my inverter, still making beats and still submitting music, using their Wi-Fi to my music supervisor in Viacom, because that's who I write for, Viacom International, for all their reality shows. And my inner being told me, you need to go to Scottsboro, because I had met this lady on some kind of little dating app, but I knew that it was just like an echo, but it wasn't the person that I was supposed to meet. But that was just a bridge to get me to Scottsbluff, and I met the person, and nothing ever went from there. And I ended up coming to Scottsbluff, and I ended up meeting my wife, and the fertilizer just laid on the plants. The plants that's been laying dormant, when that bamboo finally got what it wanted, it came through the floor, and I mean, things have just been expounding. And so that's what happened. You know, they say behind every good man, there's a good woman. Well, my wife ain't behind me. She's standing beside me, because the only thing behind me is what's irrelevant. I don't want nothing behind me. That's not my, I don't want my wife behind me at all. I want her beside me.
Woo, brother, you preach it out here, man. This is amazing.
That's what's up, man. I'm telling you, we have a free, when I say free, I ain't talking about like the Jada and Will free. I'm talking about free mind, a free open, none of that cultural bias. We are 100% who we are, and we only do what make us happy. I'll be like, do you want to do this? She be like, I was like, do that make you happy? She's like, no. I say, well, don't do it. And it ain't nothing like, you should do this and you should do that. We do what we do, what that make us happy. And that's what make our marriage work. That's what make the business work. And that's what's going to foster us on, because who she is not for me to dictate. God made her who she is. She know what she want. I'm just here to plow this field up so I can get this cash raining so she can go out and do whatever she want to do. Basically, that's one of the reasons I'm doing it. I love doing it, but I want to just start a conduit of cash.
Wow, man, that's amazing. And kudos to you and your wife. Dynamic duo, really doing it.
Dynamic duo.
Love it, man. This is truly amazing. And it's a success story that I'm glad to be able to hear this story. And we're able to record it here on this podcast, the My DJ Story podcast. This is a phenomenal DJ story. And I love where this is going, man. I'd love to hear, before we jump into our lightning round, you know, what are some things that you're working on today? And how can myself and our audience help and support you in those endeavors?
I'm working on techno music, and I'm using the synthesizers. I'm going back to I got this party called Rock This Jam, called Rock This Party, that we're putting out. And I learned how to make those robotic voices like they did on that Boogie Down the Gala from Earth, Wind, and Fire, and how they did all back in the day. I learned how to do that. It was kind of intricate, but I learned how to do it. Like you said, I'm not going to gain the knowledge. It's nothing. I can do it pop, pop, pop now. But back then, it took me like a few days. Now I can do it in a few seconds. But I'm working on trance music, working on old school, some old school electro funk, electro hip hop, just kind of bringing back the time when people used to, I want to say bring it back, because I don't want to really go back. I want to bring forward how they used to do back in the day when they used to have anthems and you would have social consciousness inside of music, and just using the things that I've learned through the universe and being enlightened, of learning how to tap into the power of the ethers and the power of positive thought and thinking positive and staying away from negative people and not actually shunning them, but actually loving them, but not being in their energy and in their light. Because if you stand by a hot skillet, you're going to smell like oil when it get to popping. So you need to hang around what you want to be around. That's what I say. For real. But it's just, I just want to be an example of like, don't give up. I don't care how old you are. Don't give up. Don't worry about your age. You've been programmed. We are even programmed to age a certain way, I believe, even with the coloring of our hair and our skin. All of that stuff is our cells are obeying our intentions. That's some really deep stuff. Our cells are obeying our intentions and our thoughts. And that's why I want to really like dig deep into like spiritual music, not really religious, but really spiritual music, so people can tap into who they are. Because really what I want to do before I leave here, and after I leave here, this realm, wherever I'm going in the next one, I want to be able to just impart some knowledge that I have to give people a chance to see who they are. I don't want to tell people what to be. I don't want to tell people what to think, because it takes contrast. It takes yin and yang to make life work. Sometimes it's not pretty, but if it wasn't for a violation, there wouldn't have been a law against that violation. That law was made because it was first violated. Before that violation happened, there was no law. So, you know, it takes contrast to make life happen. So it's just like, what I want to do, I just want to share music. I just want to, you know, I want to use this app. I'm planning on going live and probably doing a couple of lives a day. And I want to go live on the club. I composed a song yesterday. It took me 2 hours to compose it. I did it on other couple of platforms on this computer. And when I composed it, I'm going to take it and put it over on my DJ controllers, which are over here. And then when I'm going to take those, and then that's when I'm going to do the magic and add all the other stuff with it. Because I had to, like, force myself. Don't do the whole song. Because, see, I do the whole song with the effects and everything, but people want to see you do the extra stuff. So that's why I'm doing that. But what can people do? I'm just enjoy the music, be blessed, and just watch this 51-year-old person in this with this crazy Latina wife change the world.
I love it, brother. And let's jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yes.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
DJ setup, I have a Gemini MDJ 900, two of them, and one PMX 20 four-channel mixer. And I have a Hercules Universal DJ. My wife just bought me a Elise SR18. Taking back to the old school with that one. I got an Oxygen M Audio right here and an M Audio 49. I've got a Euphoria UCM 4404 HD audio interface. Over here, I'm working with some Rockville speakers with the woofers on them. And I got the hardware Dynetics to run them. And I use all of those because when they pump during the broadcast, it pushes out more, so it doesn't sound so popcorn boxy when I'm using this. So I use them instead of using my KRKs, which I use for mastering and mixing down. And my 10 fingers. Without these, it's just never love. You know, I was thinking to myself how much I appreciate my fingers. These things have done some amazing things in my life. For me and for others.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Who's my favorite DJ? Who's my favorite DJ? Right now, if I would say currently, I have like two favorite DJs. ADMC on Twitch and DJ Chalet. Both basically because of their personality. They both have two different styles, but I tune in for the show and the personality. The music is wonderful. I love it. But I like them because they all, ADMC is my, when I want to get my Ciroc on Friday night and we sit in the living room, we turn the party light on. And DJ Shalady wants to play the old R&B and sit up while she tell people not to text their ex, while she playing songs that keep reminiscing of their ex. But I just love the oxymoronish of it. So I love those two. Yeah, those are two of my favorites right now. But if you're talking about professional DJs out there on the field doing something right now, I have to say Carl Cox, that's number one. No doubt. And Skrillex and Excision. Outside, I don't know if they consider themselves DJs, but they kind of, but outside Carl Cox, Excision, and Skrillex. That's it. That's where I'm at right now.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
My favorite event I DJed at was at the Panhandle Society here in Nebraska, because it was the first time I ever went out. And the first time I ever DJed, and they let me do it. I didn't get paid for it, but I did get the, my wife got to pet some puppies, and we came out, and the people got to dance, and they drank the little alcohol, and they told me to turn the music up. I was only using KRKs. I didn't even have a DJ controller. I was just DJing off of Apple on my laptop, off of a flash drive. But it don't matter. If I got to do it with a broomstick, and I made a walkie-talkie out of wires and old transistors, it don't matter. I'm going to make it work some kind of way, but they were doing that Panhandle. That was my favorite. That was my favorite. Here in Scottsbluff.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Who's the most interesting person that I've met through DJing? The most interesting person I've met through DJing. I'll have to say Carl Cox. Because he gets on the mic, he says, I'm Carl Cox. And he sits there and spends 4 hours. And I'm not a big talker. I like to let people, I'm here for so people can listen to themselves. I don't want them to listen to me because I may not be saying what they need to do. Their inner being know what they need to hear, not me. I just want to be a facilitator of a medium of frequency. That's it. That's why I DJ.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
One thing that's missing from live streaming for DJs. It's like maybe the app should market to people. Are you having parties and you need a live DJ? Because most of the DJ apps are marketed to the DJs, but they're not marketed to the people who need the DJs, it seems like. So, because those people, it hasn't really hit us now, but if we have a resurgence of the infection, people are gonna, the music business has come to a screeching halt almost. And a lot of people don't understand, like, what the apps, like this app, what you're doing, like the club, this is the future regardless of what's gonna happen. Because DoorDash is here forever, regardless. These restaurants do not care. If we come back with a blue seal from the State Board of Health, they are going robotic, they are going mechanic, and they're gonna be dismissing your food just like they do overseas in Asia. Let's do a shoot. They ain't got time to be touched. Different than remove the human experience from food, period. So, and that's what, this is not removing the human experience using these apps, but what's gonna happen is people are gonna use these apps because they're quick. They don't have to worry about getting equipment together. They can just set this thing up and let the people dance, and they can have the DJ right there on the screen interacting with the people. And he can see them and they can see him. And it's like having a mobile DJ, but also having being like a satellite DJ. And that's what the pandemic has made. They turned DJs. It went to another tier from mobile to satellite. That's what I think.
Shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Stories also need to be shared. Well, for DJs that aren't really really well known, like I said, ADMC on Twitch and DJ Chalet on Twitch, those stories, their stories are very unique, and they're two very unique people, and how they are rising quick in the industry with proficiency, and how they took advantage of this opening in the marketing spectrum, I guess, of music, to just slide in there, and they did. And she's been DJing for a while for a lot of people. But she's done green room DJing for Wildin' Out, you know. And I heard her talking about that. Now ADMC, and they both, when they go off, when they do a party, I mean, they just blow people's mind. The ADMC, he's won the DJ competition. I forgot what the competition is, but it will probably be like ADMC, DJ Slay, and Carl Cox. Those are my three. Before, like I said before, yeah. Shout out to them three for real.
Awesome, man. We look forward to hearing their stories one day. And any DJ that's interested can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
You can find me online. You can Google me, DJ Dr. Watts. I'm about 25 pages deep. I'm on the same name on Twitch. I'm on the same name. I've been in the SEO and Google for like the last 7 years deep, embedding myself in all kind of different ways. You know exactly what I'm talking about, going into the service and doing all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you can find me on every platform, DJ Dr. Watts, Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, all of the streaming apps, all of this, whatever. You might look in your closet, I might be in there making beats. No, I'm just playing. But you can just find me on Google anyway, DJ Dr. Watts, DJ DrWattz. And my wife is Lady Jen, LadiJen. And we both have pages on Facebook, so you can catch us on there also.
Awesome, man. This has been an amazing, explosive interview. I love your energy, man. And everyone, please check out my brother, DJ Dr. Watts. He's really doing it, and he's going to shock the world. Him and his wife, they're doing a great job. And we're looking forward to just watching and following your journey from here on out, brother. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much.